This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs.
Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. Hey, we are recording this call on Tuesday, April 26th, and it's another one of those special podcasts. Now, this one is of particular interest to me because, you know, we do maybe a couple of these a month. And I look at all of them and I only bring them to all of you because it's something that has piqued my interest. And this is one that piqued my interest last October, but I didn't do anything with it at the time. And now here we are 6 or 7 months later, and I'm thinking, okay, it's definitely time to revisit. The company is called Altalay Mining. Back in October of last year, I spoke with David Rhodes. And I will put that link on this page. So if you want to go back and listen to what he said, he's chairman of the audit committee and on the board of directors. If you want to go back and hear what he said at the time, you can certainly do that. But today I've got Ralph Shearing in. Ralph is actually the president and CEO of Altalay. They have made some rather significant progress. And to me, at least, it seems it's not reflected in the stock price. Now, when we first looked at it back in October of last year, maybe 30 cents US, haven't really missed out on anything yet. Is it still under 30 cents US? But man, if they made some, like I said, some significant progress. So Ralph's going to fill us in. Ralph, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Craig. A pleasure to be here and happy to let people know what we're up to.
It certainly is interesting. Hey, you know what? Before we get started, let's just do this. Why don't you kind of introduce yourself to everybody? Tell everybody a little bit about your experience in the industry. Again, remind everybody of the team you put together there. And I guess we'll just kind of then go from there.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm, as you say, President CEO. I founded this company quite some time ago and been known to be a bit stubborn and want to make it work. So I've stuck with it and we've made some really good progress. So I'm a professional geologist. Most of my experience has been in exploration up until about 2017 when we acquired our Campo Morado mine. And then I got much more accustomed to mining because we've got one mine in production. That's our Campo Morado mine. We're doing very well there. It's primarily a zinc mine, but zinc prices are at all-time record highs these days. So we're making excellent money, pulling in $2 to $3 million positive cash flow there on a monthly basis. And at the same time, we have been in construction on our Tahuehueto gold mine. And that's a project I brought into the company many years ago and advanced it through exploration, came up with our reserves, resources, and actually made the decision to start to go into construction about a year and a half ago. So that construction is essentially just about complete. We expect to start production here any day, this week, next week. As soon as we've got the water line finished and water into our mill, we're going to start producing there. And we expect that Tahuehueto will double our cash flows. And it's a very robust project. We're going to be making excellent money at that project, primarily gold. 70% of the revenue comes from gold. And our cost for production at Tahuehueto have been calculated around $844 per gold equivalent ounce. And that's just in a new pre-feasibility study we just published and have got that information up on CDAR, our government filing system here in Canada. Robust project, and yeah, we've got a really good future ahead of us.
Well, let's start with that. What intrigued me to begin with 6-7 months ago was that you're in a pretty solid jurisdiction in Mexico, correct?
Correct. Yeah, both our projects are in Mexico. Mexico is a very good mining country. They've been mining there for years. In fact, Mexico is the largest silver producer in the world. So lots of well-trained miners, equipment is easy to get, and the government is more favorable to the mining industry.
Well, and I know many folks here. I mean, I've known Keith Neumeyer for a number of years. A lot of folks here at TFMR own First Majestic. They do a lot of work down in Mexico, a lot of big mining companies in Mexico. So we know that's a good jurisdiction. So we check off that box. Let's talk about that first mine that you said is in production, because this always intrigues me too. I obviously love gold and silver, but the base metal story especially this decade, and commodities in general, really, but it's so compelling. And as you mentioned, you've got a lot of zinc, I'm sure lead and copper as well. You've got positive cash flow. This mine's up and running. So let's dig into that. Let's start with that particular resource first. Tell us just a little bit more about it. Yeah.
So Campo Morado is what we call a volcanogenic massive sulfide deposit. It's got big pods of mineralization. We know there's seven there, and there's likely many, many more that need to be discovered. So we're producing about 45 million pounds of zinc annually.
Okay.
And we're also producing lead, gold, and silver. The deposit has fairly high grade precious metals, but they're difficult to extract. So we're getting 15 to 20% recoveries in gold. We're getting 40 to 50% recoveries in silver. Our zinc recoveries are decent, up to 70, 75%. The base metal component is really what pays at the moment, but we've been doing a whole pile of metallurgical testing to unlock more of the precious metals, and we're having some success. Hmm. The other thing we're doing is within the next week or two, we'll start to produce a copper concentrate. We haven't been producing copper up till just now. We've done some work in the mill in order to start producing copper, or we're moving to an ore body that has more copper in it. So we'll have a new revenue source coming in from copper. And if we're successful on all of our metallurgical push, we should have a way to, you know, really increase our gold and silver production. And at Campo Morado, we're producing just under 1 million ounces of silver these days on an annual basis. And gold is around 5,000 ounces, so not a huge amount of gold. But we hope to increase that.
Hey, yeah, I was going to say, have you drilled that out more? Do you think you'll dig more holes?
There's the exploration potential there is quite large, and we have targets identified. We have targets underground from borehole geophysics. They need to be drilled. If we're successful on those, we'll be able to access those from the underground workings. And then on a property scale basis, we have about 15 targets to go after that were developed by the previous owner of the project, and they're very advanced targets, both geophysical, geochemical. Some of them are coincident. So any one of those, once we get them drilled, could bring in new massive sulfide ore bodies. So the future of Campo Morado is really good. And I think, you know, if we were healthy and could get a good, strong drill program going, we could increase our resources there so that we could justify expanding the size of the mine. We're currently producing around 2,200 tons per day, and I could see going up to 3,000, 4,000, maybe even 5,000 tons a day. You know, that's kind of a long-term goal to get to 5,000, but you know, getting up to 3,000 is something more attainable should our exploration work out the way we expect it to.
Well, exactly. And it is, and again, this is important to consider because, you know, I know here on my site, we do these interviews, you know, whether people are out there exploring and they've got a very dynamic potential resource, that sort of thing. It's a whole different animal when you've got somebody that's already in production and generating cash flow. Because that changes the dynamics of your balance sheet as well.
Well, a lot less risky as well for shareholders.
No doubt. And then, Ralph, I saw on the website, and of course, I'll put a link to the website on this page and some other links for everybody, you know, to look at as well. But it mentioned you've got a pretty good idea of what you've got down there. I mean, well over 1 million ounces of gold, it seems, and quite a bit of silver.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we really need to push this metallurgical testing to find the way to recover more of that gold and silver.
Yep. Let's talk about the second mine, because that's where you mentioned that's where maybe more of the precious metals are. And could that be coming online soon too?
Yeah, this is a fantastic project. In fact, we look at Tabawito as our flagship project. It's just a very large district scale epithermal system. We've only explored a very small portion of it. In fact, we've really concentrated along one major structure over about 2.6 kilometers. And we know that structure is much larger. And that's only one structure of at least eight more that we know of.
Wow.
In this district. And the district itself, it's probably 12 kilometers long, 8 kilometers wide, and we own about 83% of the prospective ground within our concessions. So there's a really strong future ahead for us on Tabawito. I'm very confident to say that we can expand this mine again, once exploration drilling gets going. But the targets are there, and we've got very good indications that we'll be successful on the drill program. So I see, you know, we're building right now a 1,000 ton per day mining operation. It's ready to start at any day now at half capacity with one ball mill. We'll put the next second ball mill in by the end of the second quarter into the third quarter of this year. And then we'll ramp that mine up to 1,000 tons per day production. In the meantime, get exploration going. And we believe very quickly we'll bring in new resources, reserves that allow us to expand this mine. And I could see it going easily to 2,000 tons a day and up to 3,000 tons a day in the next 2 to 5 years.
And I was going to back up to that because I was on your website. I mean, you've already got a mill that you own there.
Yeah, it's ready to go.
And you are in terms of other infrastructure and shipping that stuff out of there.
Yeah, we have road access. I mean, we can get into Tahuito in about a 6-hour drive from the nearest community. You know, they're challenging roads, but we get all our equipment in and out, and we'll be able to get our concentrate out, no problem. So it's I would say it's not the best type of access for a project in Mexico, but, you know, I'm a Canadian, and we explore projects way very remote. And if I can drive to a project in a day, I don't consider it that remote. We will be generating our own power on site because we don't have any government power lines coming into the area. But it's all calculated in, and it's all calculated into our cost of production. And as mentioned earlier, we believe, based on the pre-feasibility study just announced, that we'll be producing gold at about $844 per gold equivalent ounce. We'll produce about 26,000 ounces of gold annually. If you equate all of the paying metals to gold, it'll be about 45,000 ounces of gold equivalent on an annual basis at 1,000 tons per day.
And that's just on top of what, and that's the other mine. That's on top of the first mine we discussed.
The Campo Morado mine, exactly. So, you know, Tahuito, although it's half the size of Campo Morado, we expect it to produce similar types of cash flows.
Anybody else doing business out there near you, Ralph?
Well, the only competitor we have in the district actually is Fresnillo, who's one of the larger mining companies in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And they have a very small amount of ground that surrounds our internal block of concessions. And then we surround them again on the outside of that over the overall district. Now, they're not active. They're part of their ground is probably too small for them to get too interested to do a lot. So, you know, I could foresee doing a deal with them down the road at some point.
Yeah,
but we don't really need them at this moment.
But that's what I'm thinking. If I'm Fresnillo, I'm keeping an eye on what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We have one of my directors, Ruben Alvidrez Ortega. His brother is the CEO of Fresnillo.
Oh, so okay.
We have a good relationship with
Fresnillo. He'll ask him at Christmas, hey, how are things going down there?
Now, I had lunch with Ruben, his brother, and his father. His father is actually a very interesting man. He was number two in Peñoles. He's now retired, but, you know, very, very strong mining family.
All right. Let's talk about the financials, because obviously this is always important. I've got you listed maybe, at least in terms of U.S. dollars, under 100 million market cap, maybe 75, 80 million. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And besides the cash flow that's currently coming in, which is always a boom, I know you've done some financing. Tell us a little bit about the balance sheet, other things that people might want to know.
You know, we're actually coming out with our audited financial statements before the end of this month. I think they're due on the 2nd of March. So they'll come out, and they're showing a vast improvement over the last year. And several reasons for that. Obviously, Campo Morado has been performing very well. Commodity prices are up, so we're making good money. We've also been able to bring the Campo Morado asset back on. We had to write that asset off back in 2019-20 because there was no assurances that we could continue to operate it.
Sure.
But we've been able to clean it up and get our costs down to a level, and the metal prices went up. So now we're able to bring it back on. So our financial statements have also going to be improved because we've been able to renegotiate all of our debt. It was all current before, and now we've been able to negotiate it. So a good 2/3 of it is now on long-term basis. So
great.
The statements are much improved this year.
And I would think it just in general, having production and cash flow, I would think just in, like I said, in general, kind of reduces the need for outside financing as you go forward.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to go to the market and dilute our shareholders that much. So that's a very positive thing. I mean, if you look at Campo Morado, I think we were just under $100 million Canadian dollars in revenue in 2021. So, you know, these are good numbers, and mm-hmm. profit margin on that was quite good.
Like I said, the stock hasn't moved really, maybe drifted even lower since we first looked at this 7 months ago. And it's about 25 cents US, 30 cents Canadian.
I think, the people are waiting for our Tahuehuetl project to start.
Yeah.
You know, we had anticipated we'd have it up and running near the end of 2021. You know, we're not that far behind. There was a few little things that slowed it down.
Sure.
Any major construction project, you know, if you can bring it in, you know, 2 or 3 months from your estimates, it's still pretty good timing. And so, you know, we're just about there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all of this is very good news. Let's, as the final part of this, let's kind of look ahead. I mean, like you said, you've got some financial statements coming out in early May. But we still got 2/3 of the year to go. I would imagine you're as excited about potential for the gold price, especially in the second half of this year, as I am. That kind of changes the math too. What else should we look forward to as the year progresses, Ralph?
Well, bringing Tahuehuetl on stream, getting it ramped up to full production is a huge thing for us. So, you know, you'll see it on our balance sheet. The end of this year will look a lot better than we are right now as well. And I'm hoping to get exploration going again in Q4 this year. We should have enough money around to get that underway. And then that provides organic growth on the projects. We're also out starting to look at potential new acquisitions. We're not quite healthy enough right now, but you know, we get Tahuehuetl online, get our market cap up. We can use our equity a little bit to bring in a new project. So we really hope to grow this company. I mean, I think if you look at us, you could say, go back 10, 15 years and look at Endeavor Silver or First Majestic or any of those companies that were getting started down in Mexico. You know, they started out small, but they grew very quickly with their multiple mines. And, you know, we're now going to be a two-mine company and we're going to be looking for others. So I think we've got, you know, excellent opportunities to really put our market cap where it should be over the coming months and into next year. And if you look at where that is, I mean, just look at some of our peer companies. And in fact, on our PowerPoint presentation that's available on our website, there's a peer comparison in there, and it's an enterprise value over EBITDA. And our company's sitting at about a ratio of 1.5, and polymetallic producers in Mexico are at 14. And
oh my gosh.
It's a really compelling slide. And if you look at gold producers or precious metal producers, they're at about, you know, 4.5, 5, and we're sitting at 1.5. So this is where our appreciation should be realized as we bring on Tahuehuetl and get and ramp up our cash flows.
A little bit, I'm thinking the old stockbroker term, multiple expansion too, you know, as not only as production ramps up, but price goes up and the company grows and then you move toward those numbers. I could start to do math in my own head.
Exactly. And that's what our future holds for us. It's just a matter of continuing to work hard and getting the crews on side, which they are on side. We've got a really good operations team in Mexico. It's a good future ahead for us.
It certainly sounds like it. Now, listen, everybody, as I always tell you, you don't just take my word for it and you don't take Ralph's word for it, because obviously we're both kind of excited about this deal. You've got to do your own due diligence. Okay. You've got to start by researching the company. I'll put the links on this website, put a link, you know, other things too, like that corporate presentation that Ralph was mentioning. You can also search the ticker symbols up in Canada. It is ATLY. Well, that makes sense for Altalay, ATLY. And then it's real easy, as it always is in the US, you just stick an F on there for foreign, and you've got ATYLF. But you got to do your own due diligence. You got to take into consideration your time horizons, your risk tolerance, and all that stuff. Okay. Again, you can't just take my enthusiasm for anything more than just my enthusiasm. But Ralph, I'm excited to have gotten this update from you. It was David piqued my interest. Like I said, it just kind of slipped through the cracks. Maybe it just didn't put a little low light on cash maybe at the time. And I just kind of fell off my radar. So it has been a great pleasure to speak with you and get this update. As we close, just wonder if there's anything else that we've missed, anything else you want to tack on.
Well, Craig, thank you very much. And the only thing I would like to mention, I guess, is people should pay particular attention to the world conditions and the state of the precious metals market these days. Mm-hmm. I just am convinced we're in the very beginnings of a major bull run in commodity sector, especially precious metals. And you can see it already in the precious or the base metals. Metals are at all-time highs and look like they'll remain that way through this coming year into next year. Copper alone is just a fantastic metal to be in these days, and we're going to be producing copper very shortly at Campo Morado. So lots of really good things ahead for Altale Mining, and we would invite anybody to, you know, give us a call. We're happy to take calls and answer any questions that may arise. I guess that's
and that's always an extra benefit too, that the company is that open and willing to talk to folks. I remember one last thing, Ralph, I wanted to ask you about, because I remember this from speaking with David. I mean, it's a I don't know if tightly held's the right term, but don't all of you on the board and the directors of the company all pretty much own a lot of stock too?
Yeah, there's about a 36% holding board management and the board directors. There's an institutional following. We have what's the number? I can't remember, like 20-something% institutional holdings. So, you know, the company is, although it's got 280 million shares issued, we still have a fairly tight structure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, put your money where your mouth is. And that's always very important. Ralph, all I'm going to ask you is two things. Please keep doing what you're doing, you're obviously making great progress. And please promise to come back later this year and let us know how things are going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all working hard. We know where we need to go and how to get there. And anytime that you need an update, I'd be happy to rejoin you and do another one.
Tremendous. Again, we've been speaking with Ralph Shearing, President and CEO of Altale Mining. We'll put the symbol, the website, everything else to start your research on this company right here on this webpage. And then we'll be sure to have Ralph stop back and give us an update in the future. Ralph, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Craig. Pleasure.
And from all of us here at TFMR, thanks for listening. I have another special podcast for you sometime soon.